a brighter day, and this is it. Welcome again to Dr. Fay Live. I'm Dr. Fay, your host for this radio broadcast. I'm so glad you've chosen to be a part of tonight's broadcast for many different reasons. There are a ton of things happening around the planet. There are a ton of things happening in America and in our lives. And, you know, sometimes you just got to gather together with a group of people who are of like mind and really believe and have passion for truth and to really make a shift in consciousness on the planet. And you're going to hear from some of those people tonight. And you guys who have been listening to me for weeks, you know that Mark Eaton is going to be back tonight. And he's a mover and shaker and doing some phenomenal things right here on the planet. And you're going to hear from him. There's so many announcements that I had, and I need to get those out of the way, because if I do not, I get on a tangent and I'm all over the place, and at the end of the broadcast, I wish I had remembered. So tonight, I want to remind you that tomorrow morning, beginning at 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, from 9 a.m. to 9:15 a.m. is Real Estate Live with yours truly, right on drfay.com. Click on our broadcast and you'll be able to listen right there from our website, drfay.com. So don't forget. Also, all of the archives of the broadcast you'll be able to download over the next few weeks. We're going to position ourselves so that you can get those from our site. But however, right now, just listen from drfay.com. Take a look at our new and ever-expanding website. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you. We have really made some changes here on our broadcast. We're able to Skype our broadcast, and we're also able to stream it live. So welcome to our new broadcast. Welcome to taking a look at our drfay.com and our other websites that are out there, and join us tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And on March 16th, beginning every third Wednesday of the month, is Wednesday with Dr. Fay and Pastor Deborah. Pastor Deborah and her husband, Dr. Ray Larson, are out of Austin, Texas, and she will be my co-host for the third Wednesday of every month. And joining us for this month are some phenomenal women all over the place. And if you're available, you want to call in, make sure you do that on March 16th at from 10:30 until 12 noon for 90 minutes of talk right on drfay.com. Just log in there and listen to it right there through our website. And you're going to definitely enjoy it. And definitely get the phone number, 646-478-0060. It never changes. 646-478-0060 to call in for each broadcast and be a part of it. And I definitely want you to participate because this month, and men, that doesn't mean you cannot call in, okay? So you can call in as well because we want to hear from you. I've never been one of those gender groupie people. I like for everybody to get together, male and female, because after all, we came from, you know. So anyway, we want everybody to get together and be a part of it. So call us on March 16th from 10:30 to 12 noon for 90 minutes. If you can't be there the entire time, at least be there part of the time. It would truly be a blessing to us to have you on board and contribute. This month, we're focusing on National Women's History Month. National Women's History Month. And we're going to talk about some powerful women that have made an influence. And each one of us came from a woman. Came from a womb. So we want to talk about the women who have influenced our lives, have left legacies for us, some women whose shoulders we stand on today, and we're able to do powerful things because some mama, some grandmama, somebody prayed, somebody didn't give up, somebody held on and didn't let go, thank God. So we're able to have a voice today. So what a blessing that is. So be a part of that and a ton of other things that are happening that I won't mention tonight. New books, new CDs, just a ton of stuff. Take a look at our website, and it is a powerful thing that is happening right now on the planet. So thank you so much for being a part. And tonight I am going to open up the door so my sidekick, Mark Eaton, can jump right in here. And hey, Mark, how are you doing?
I am excellent.
Excellent indeed. We have been having such a ride, Mark, through the book of Revelation, and I know that we have a ton of stuff to do tonight, and I also was expecting a special guest to drop in. I don't know if they will be able to get in, but we definitely want them. So sometime I hope Pastor Deborah will be able to come by because I wanted to introduce her to our audience. And we have hundreds and hundreds of people listening to Dr. Faye Live and our radio broadcast. We just really, not just, and we thank God for that for primary one reason, Mark, is that we're able to, everybody reaching one, each one reaching one, we're able to share what we have with someone else. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So, Mark, we've been talking about the book of Revelation for weeks. And you know what? And we'll never stop talking about it. We're going through a series right now, and this series has been serious, but we'll never stop talking about the book of Revelation. But I'm going to give it over to you, Mark, because I think you have some folks that you want to introduce us to tonight and talk a little bit about this phenomenon that's happening in Russellville, Arkansas, on March 12, 2011. So why don't you and Kathy jump in and talk to us a little bit about that and tell us where we're going tonight.
Well, we are going to have a conference on March 12th. It's called The Undiscovered God in You. And that title was coined by Kathy. And she came up with that title. And at first I thought, I don't know. Because we're originally from Arkansas. I want to let you all know that, our audience, from Russellville, Arkansas. And our speakers will include myself, Marquis Hunt, Mike Clegg, Danny Kelly, Willie Cripps, and many, many others. There'll be Grady Brown, Harold Lovelace, and we have people coming from all over, some people that are scheduled and not scheduled, but that's why we have open mic, because we want people, we want to introduce the body to the body. And you'll hear some of those people tonight, Eric Sheets. Our discussions will consist of love versus religion, understanding and finding your authentic self, how to function in God's grace. We've heard the message of grace, but how do we function in it? Who made you judge? And it's interesting because we put on the flyer, who made you judge and jury, because as you know, some of the churches in that area are the jury. So we put that on there. Sovereignty versus the power of choice. What a powerful topic. How to move beyond your past, your fears, your doubt, shame, and where is the church headed? It will be at the La Quinta in Russellville, Arkansas, March 12, 2010. The address is 111 East Harold Drive, Russellville, Arkansas, 72801. If you have any information that you would like to get to find out more about this, you can call us at 972-248-5078, or you can call and reach Dan and Cinder Kelly at 479-857-4285. Excuse me, that's my wife's number. Dan and Sandra's number is 479-567-5690. And our website is www.sigler.org at recoveringall/recoveringall. Or you can email us at bridginggap, BRIDGEINGGAP at gmail.com. We would love to have you there. This is an exciting lineup. And I'm just going to go ahead and begin. One of the things that is on my heart is for years of my life, I lived with this sense that God was way off, that God was, as Max Lucado, a distant deity, and that I lived most of my life with this idea of rules and regulations and law and me trying to earn everything and me trying to get it right, and the more that I tried to do it, the more shame and the more guilt that I experienced. And I lived most of my life that way up until the time around when I was 14 or 15, when I was introduced to a whole new paradigm of God. And it's almost as if this whole new paradigm was a God of love that I had never heard about. It was a God of grace, an understanding of an empowerment, not just this cheap version of grace, but this version of truth. Kathy, one of the things that she says in one of her writings is that so many times we fight over versions of the truth rather than coming together and in a spirit of unity looking at that truth. And so that's what we want to do. We want to, in the spirit of Bereans, come and search out the matters. And you mentioned a passion for truth. These people have a passion for truth. And when I thought of the term, the undiscovered God, I thought, man, I don't even know if there's a verse in the Bible that I can go with that. And I was reading in the message, and I'm going to read this and then introduce some of these guys. But it says in the Message Bible, Jesus provides the full and true understanding of God. Jesus shows us the mature working out of love. In Jesus, God and love are linked accurately, intricately, and without disillusion. There's always people around who don't want to be pinned down to the God Jesus reveals and to the love Jesus reveals. They want to make up their own idea of God and make up their own style. You see, I think we water down God because of our unworthiness, because of our shame. In these letters, we see him establishing the original and organic unity of God and love that comes to focus and becomes available to us in Jesus Christ. That's the undiscovered God that we want to talk about. And so I'm very excited about this conference. It's the first one we've done at home. And you know me, if I'm going to do it at home, I'm a country boy, I can't do nothing halfway. So,
amen.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and introduce. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I definitely want us to take this time tonight and let you introduce your co-host and guest for this phenomenal event. And, folks, I know Mark gave out a lot of addresses and contact information, but we will revisit that toward the end of the broadcast. So we'll make sure that you have the contact information, and we'll just give you a number and an email address so that you can go ahead and get registered for this event, because it is coming soon. And so we want you to be a part of that. Mark, why don't you go ahead, and I believe the lines are open for those who have made their presence known, and so you can go ahead and make your introductions.
Okay, first is from Gina, Louisiana. It's Willie Cripps. Willie, are you there?
I'm here.
All righty. Well, take about 5 and 7 minutes and share a little bit of what the Lord's put on your heart.
Well, Mark, first I would like to thank you and Dr. Fay for considering me in this, and it's certainly exciting. We're expecting some great things in Russellville, and we have really have enjoyed the things that God has been opening up to us. And let me just share one thing that has really blessed me as we're moving in. You spoke of a new paradigm of God. Isaiah, the 29th chapter, Isaiah spoke of God pouring out the spirit of slumber in deep sleep. And he says that the vision of all would be as a book that is sealed. That would be about the 9th and 10th verse of the 29th chapter of Isaiah. But when you get on into the latter part of the chapter, he describes the unsealing of that book. And he even ends that chapter by saying that all who erred in doctrine shall come understanding. And so I say that because of whoever may be listening, wherever, the fact that there are things that we have not seen are, you know, my grandpa was an old-time Pentecostal preacher from the early 1920s, and he was a very sincere person, a very honest and open person, but there were things that were as though they were sealed. And but we are living in a time when this book is being unsealed. And the exciting thing about that is that it, in describing the unsealing of this book, fruitfulness and joy is increased. And I certainly think that's something that our world needs a lot more of. But just to kind of give folks an idea of where I'm coming from and the things that God has shared with me, and back to the statement that you made about coming into a new paradigm of God, I have come to realize that there is a Jesus who is the Son of God, and there is the Jesus who is the Son of man's thoughts, man's imaginations, and, I hope maybe you can kind of understand what I'm talking about. That just because I have a certain concept of a person does not make that person what my concept is. Jesus was who he was without our concepts. And so it would behoove us to try to form our concepts around what the Bible tells us about Jesus. And Mark, you know, one of the things that I have spoken of repeatedly, and I do this because I think we must get our, if we're going to travel down the right road, we're going to have to get started in the right direction. And to me, one of the first things that we need to understand about this Jesus, who is the Son of God, he was, as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ, speaking of Jesus, Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses to them, not imputing trespasses to the world. Now, Paul is simply confirming there what Jeremiah said about the new covenant in the 31st chapter of Isaiah. To me, this is the very basis of the ministry of Jesus and what he came to do. And this passage is quoted again in the 8th chapter of Hebrews and in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. But he says, this is what he says. He says, I'm going to make a new covenant with, and I'm going to write my law in their heart. And he said, I'm going to be kind to their, let's see, I'm here in the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans 8 and 12, he says, for I would be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. And so the concept that seems to be the mainstream of so much of, or the main current in the stream of Christianity is that God is still remembering sins against us until we do something to get him to quit remembering our sins. And, you know, with one denomination, it's a walk down the aisle. In another one, it's maybe, you know, us Pentecostals, we tried to pray three people through and you know, do all of these kind of different things that we could to get God to quit remembering sin against us. But the word tells us that since the cross, he has not remembered any sins against anybody. Now, the awesome thing about that is that that is in perfect alignment with the pattern of the Levitical priesthood. Sins were remitted when the priest offered the sacrifice. 4th, 5th, 6th chapter of Leviticus, that's probably repeated half a dozen or a dozen times. And so, but if we start out with the concept that God has not ever remembered any sin against anybody, then everything that we read in the scripture, and particularly in the teachings of Paul and even the great words that are written in red and all of the other things, we're going to come up with a complete different conclusion than if we start off with the fact that, you know, every evil thing that you have done, God has that charged against you until you do something to get him to remove those charges. As I heard a preacher actually preach a sermon one time, he said, your life is kind of like a blackboard, and everything that you've done evil is written on that board, and when you come to God, you have to come to God and get him to erase it. And, you know, he even went on to say that then when you do something evil again, it's written back on there, and you have to come back, and it's a consistent thing. But when we come to understand that sin was remitted at the cross, then the entire everything that we read in Scripture will take on a complete different meaning. And,
that's
beautiful.
Excuse me. I just wanted to interject this because I know that our time is we just have so much time. But I wanted to make sure that the people grasp what you were saying because you were really touching on several points there. And one of the points that I believe that people should grab a hold of right now, because, Mark, I think you have like three or four more people to come, and I'm watching the clock. I'm the clock watcher. So the point that I really want people to grab a hold of is that through the blood of Jesus Christ, not guilty.
Not guilty. Absolutely.
Not guilty.
Regardless of who you are, you know, when he said he reconciled the world to himself, the world has never been presented in Scripture as people who are seeking God. In fact, John says that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. He said the whole world lies in wickedness. And yet, Paul, and this is, by the way, the same Greek word, cosmos, Paul said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself,
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
imputing
Amen.
Trespasses, not guilty. Boy, that's, you have a way of summing it up.
Yeah,
she definitely does. She definitely does. Well, we appreciate that, Willie, and one of the statements Willie says, and then we want to move on to our next speaker. Willie says, for one word Jesus, there's a thousand different ideas of God, and I thank God for Willie. Willie has spent a lot of time in Scripture, spent a lot of time understanding these things, and Willie, stay on the line. We'll come back to you. Our next speaker is from Heber Springs,
Mark,
Arkansas.
Before you call the speaker, let me just kind of do a little backtracking here. And because we have a number of people on tonight that you're introducing for this conference next on March 12th, I'm going to ask that each one hold it to 3 to 5 minutes and then come back for a wrap up and let everybody just share whatever they need to, because we can go over our time. I've stretched it out tonight, so we can go over. That's not a problem. I just want to make sure that everybody does get in live. Okay?
Okay, definitely.
All right,
My next speaker is Mike Clegg. Tell us, Mike, are you there?
I am.
All right, can you do in 3 minutes a little summary of what's been going on with you?
I can do it.
All right,
I appreciate the time. I appreciate the opportunity, Mark, Kathy. The nature of God's sovereignty has always been an interest. When Beth and I lost our first child many years ago, we were told that it was God's plan for us and for our life. And that didn't set well. It didn't set like that would be a God that I wanted to worship. In studying some things, Pascal wrote, he said, God made man in his image, and man returned the compliment. When man defined his free will, he then defined God's sovereignty. He based his understanding on the sovereignty of God, and he said that God is in control but not over the will of man. And then another group said, well, God controls all aspects of creation. He even controls the falling of the leaf when it falls from the trees in the fall. If he is that much in control, then he had to have caused man to sin. Then if that's the case, he calls 9/11. He calls Katrina and other calamities. But yet he tells us in the same Bible that we're supposed to pray for protection from such things. Is the sovereignty of God about his power? We know that God is omnipotent, and meaning all-powerful, but does he always exercise all of his power? When we think about the source of his power, does it come from him being God, or does it come from his character of who he is? When Jesus came, he introduced God as our Father. And if we determine the source of sovereignty and how it affects creation, then we also have to understand how it affects those that are under that sovereignty and how those people perceive him. Mark, it also talks about in that omnipotence as him being the source of power. He delegates to us some authority. But in that authority that he gives, it's all bound up in God. We cannot move outside of that authority, but because he is omnipotent and all-powerful, he is able to still maintain his plan in anything that we choose to do, whether it's good or evil. He can always make it come out to our good. So as we study, we find that it is about the power of his sovereignty, not about the sovereignty of his power.
That's good. And as you can definitely see, folks, this is going to be a power-packed deal. Dr. Faye, do you want to respond to that? And then we'll move to our next guest.
No, I'd just rather you just continue to flow because, oh, by the way, folks, if you have to leave, you can come back live again because this group is going to be back on Friday night, March 11th, and they will be on, they have a two-hour spot from 6 to 8 on Friday night. So go ahead, Mark.
We want to come back now and introduce the next figure. He's actually from Russellville, Arkansas, and many of you have heard of him before. Is Danny Kelly. Danny, are you there? Danny? Are you there? Okay, moving on to the next person. Nate Rangel, are you there?
I think Danny is on now.
Okay, Danny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, man. What's the Lord showing you?
Okay. I just want to talk a little bit tonight on a title of a message I have, Love, Truth, and is Jesus. And 2 John verses 1 through 6 says, I love all of you in the truth, and all those who know the truth love you. We love you because of the truth that lives in us, and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ will be with us in truth and love. I was happy to learn that some of your children are following the way of truth as the Father has commanded. And now, this is not a new command, but it is the same command we have heard from the beginning. I ask you that we all love each other, and love means living the way God commanded us to live. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is this, live a life of love. And I wanted to share that scripture because, I just got from the Lord one day. I was sitting there reaching, thinking, and I was saying, you know, in being working in a job and being in the world every day of my life, come across a lot of different situations and circumstances. And a lot of people, as the gentleman quoted on before, you know, we have different ways of believing, different ways of seeing things. And I said, you know, the Lord shared, you know, we've got away from the truth, which is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in Him there is nothing else. And the fact that the church and even us, is sometimes we get away from that. Is it possible that we search, you know, our personal relationship with Christ is for us to grow. But sometimes we get so indwelled in either seeking Him out and knowing His truth and studying the Greek and studying the Hebrew, and then even the churches, the denominational churches, have gotten so far away from Him because we interpret this way and we want you to think this way and this is what God meant when He said this. But there's a world out here that doesn't even live a life for Christ or acknowledge Him. And I just think as the church, as the body as a whole, we've got away from that original message of love, and that is Jesus. You know, this the basic simples of what Christ taught us, to love one another, and to be more simple in the fact that the world is looking for truth, and that what they're looking for is Jesus. As I said, Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life. And in 2 John, beginning in verse 9, he said, anyone who goes beyond Christ's teaching and does not continue to follow only His teaching does not have God. But whoever continues to follow the teaching of Christ is both the Father and the Son. If someone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not welcome or accept him. But what he's saying there, it doesn't say there's not more to learn in God beyond Christ, but the fact that when we lose that foundation, we lose our purpose into the world that does not know Christ.
You're kind of saying that we lose our relevance, and that's kind of what I'm hearing, and we want to bring two more people on, but that's what I'm hearing from all of you, is that God was in Christ, not imputing their trespasses against you, and that there is this sovereignty now that we are rethinking, we are reframing, because we're seeing this new paradigm of God. And then what you were talking about, this simplicity which is in Christ. This world has so many complicated issues. They're all out here dealing with Facebook and media and on their phones, and it's just that simple love that is in his presence. Danny, hold on the line. I'm going to go to our next guest. It is Nate Rangel. Nate is not going to be there, but he is one of the people who's inspired me. And with some things that he shared, it's going to be what I'm going to be talking about. So, Nate Rangel at Santa Ana, California, you're on the air.
I'm here, Mark.
All right. Let her rip.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to appreciate you, Mark, and Kathy, the wonderful friendship the Lord has forged between us. He had to get us all the way into Texas to meet you. So we're really glad the Lord orchestrated all that. And also to our host, Dr. Faye, appreciate the opportunity to be here. Calling from sunny Southern California. It is actually sunny today. And just some things that we've had in conversation. I've been greatly influenced by the teaching and life of such people as Watchman Nee. And I think I've been drawn to that only because it gets me a little bit out of this westernized view of Christianity and of the person of Christ. In the greater context of God's larger plan, piggybacking on a conversation that you and I had previously, Mark, was really the great plan and the economy of God's gospel, which we talked about and kind of summarized and boiled down to be how that God's desire for us has always been to work Christ into us, and his work has always been to work us into Christ, so that the end product is something that's indistinguishable, where it's like pouring a glass of water into the ocean. You don't know where that glass starts and ends, but yet it's a part of the greater, which is, to me, the greatest model of what we call reconciliation. Paul said that we had only one word, and that word was reconciliation. Reconciliation is a sticky term. If you're a legalist or very works-oriented or believe that your free will, which you do have, is greater than God's free will, which he does have, to save you. The scripture tells us that in 1 Timothy it says that God will have all men to be saved. And whether that's God's desire is different from our desire. When I want a Cadillac, it depends on my resources. So when God wants something, he has no hindrance. There are no barriers to God getting what he wants, which is really all that we preach, is that God's will be accomplished because he doesn't have a hindrance of resource, nor a will and desire to see us reconciled. And just touching on reconciliation, I'll give the floor back. Reconciliation is touchy. Reconciliation is not an introduction, which is what most of our church services are geared toward. Reconciliation is actually putting two warring parties back together. But the scripture tells us that Christ took all of the enmity that was between us and even between us and God, and in his own flesh he abolished it all. He nailed every bit of accusation that could be railed against us. He nailed it to the cross, and by doing so disarmed it, left us without a war to fight, which is apparently what we keep doing in church, is fighting a battle that's already been won, rehearsing for repeating history, which will never be done. So I'm just grateful to God for the opportunity to be able to receive such grace, to enjoy such a great revelation of a much greater love than I ever imagined I could enjoy in God. So I appreciate being here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Nate. Can you see why I was inspired? and there again, it's just each one. We want to bring in one more speaker. And then after that, we're just going to kind of converse back and forth. The last speaker is Eric Sheets from Boonville, Arkansas. He will be there at the conference. Eric, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You got the floor, buddy. Share for us in about 3 minutes what the Lord's put on your heart.
Okay. A couple of verses keep coming to my mind. One is John 14:14, where Jesus said, "If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it." And the other is out of Malachi 4, one of my favorite passages in the scripture, where the Messiah is spoken of as being the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. And when I became a Christian, I had several psychological disorders that were quite a hassle. And one of the things that's brought me out of that, and this probably comes to my mind partially, is because you talk about one of the topics of this conference is who God is in you. And one of the things that, or I want to even say one of the things, the thing that has brought me out of that disorder and given me freedom is Christ within me. And for years, a discipline in my life has been to just simply come to Jesus once or twice a day and just ask him to shine within me. And I just wait in his presence. And just something that simple, done just in faith for year after year, has just crushed mental illness in my life. So anyway, I wanted to share that and pray for whoever might be listening and just see whatever the Spirit does.
Yes.
You know, what you just shared, and pardon my interruption because I'm just leaping inside, and what you have just shared, my friend, it is so on point to the masses and masses of people. We can have revelation upon revelation without realization. The realization and awareness of who we really are cannot come when our minds are so warped in pain. It's quick to diagnose and want to pray for people with cancer and physical illness. But we have literally hidden the mental illness, the psychological issues that are buried so deep subconsciously within the very fabric of our being. Because we have not been taught that the blood of Jesus Christ can also heal mental illness. But we don't talk about that. It's as though it's still taboo from the ages, from the 20s and 30s when people were sent into these insane asylums and they were given shock treatments. And people didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to talk about it, that they had a mentally ill child at home. They were ashamed. And for you to get on the broadcast and talk about that, to expose that, is liberating to me to hear it from someone. And also because I know the masses and masses of people, whether they're in ministry or in business, passing them in the marketplace, that have psychological and mental concerns, but we don't see the blood, we don't see the broken bones, we don't see the wounds, so therefore we don't address it because it is not identifiable with our physical eyes. All of the teachings that we do as men and women and people of God and people who are aware and consciously aware, you cannot get through insanity without first bringing deliverance in some level. And we can call it deliverance and we can call it Prozac. We can call it whatever we need to call it. But there are so many issues that bombard our minds and keep us from walking living a holistic life and walking in holiness. And so I had to jump in because I know that if we do not deal with that issue, regardless of our revelation of who God is and where we come from and all the relationship that we have with God and with each other, if we don't deal with the core of insanity, when people are sitting there in front of us and we're trying to pour into them revelation and they're hearing blah, 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 it's not going in. So, brother, your prayer needs to be prayed now, and we will come back and let Mark just jump in and do what you need to do. But Mark and I flow. We just flow. That's what we do. If you just come in right now, because the moment you said it, I knew it needed to be addressed. So if you would please pray.
Okay, thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me pray. Holy Spirit, I ask you to empower me with faith, with wisdom and guidance. Thank you. Jesus, I lift up before you everybody who's listening to this broadcast. Jesus, I ask you to shine your light into our hearts.
Yes.
You who are the Son of Righteousness.
Yes.
I ask you to bring deliverance, Jesus, through your power, through your light, through your illumination. Jesus, I ask you to shine deep into every hidden part of our hearts.
Yes.
Illuminate things, heal, comfort, drive out darkness. Jesus, I ask you to shine into every memory, every expectation, every decision recorded in the brains. into the spirits and souls of all who are listening here. Jesus, I thank you that you're doing that right now. I thank you for that power. I speak peace to the people listening to this broadcast in the name of Jesus. I command their nervous systems to be at peace in the name of Jesus Christ. I command darkness to leave in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of
thank you, Lord, for your work.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for your healing and your power.
Yes. Wow.
Yes. Thank you, Father God. We thank you for this right now in the name of Jesus. Father, for those that have been mentally abused by the images of God, how many people that we know are in insane asylums because of the God they were presented? Father, we present this to you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, and we shed your love. We release that love in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Mike Clegg, are you there?
I am.
Yes. Can you pray or share just whatever God's putting on your heart? 3 minutes, please. Share a little bit.
You know, when we define God, we know he is love. In 1 Corinthians, Paul gives us the account of what love is. And in those verses, we can put God there. We can say God never fails. God never is drawn off course. God never fades, and he never comes to an end. God never becomes powerless or ineffective. God's sovereignty is a sovereignty of love. He loves us regardless. And he forgives regardless, and he cleanses regardless, and he makes us unto himself.
Yes, yes. Dan and Kelly, can you pray and share a little bit about the love of God, that the audience will receive this love?
Father God, we thank you for your truthfulness, Father. We thank you for your healing power, Father. I thank you for touching the minds of those listening, Father, that any confusion's got to go in Jesus' name. For, Father, where you are, there is light, there is truth, there is love. I praise you, and I give you all the glory.
Yes, yes. Nate, do you have anything the Lord's given you?
Well, I just pray that, Lord, that you would remove the guilt, Lord, and the fear of you, that we would come to you, God, and recognize you as our Father, regardless of what we know a Father's supposed to be like or not. Give us, God, grace to be able to trust you with our hurts, with our wounds, in intimate and obvious places. We ask you, God, that we would recognize that you, in fact, do love us, and you do warn us of danger, but you would run in and save us every time we get in it. Convict us of that, Lord, I pray, that we may be healed from the inside out, in your name.
Yes.
Father, I just thank you. I see so many people that it's just like they've been abused. And they've been abused not so much physically, although that's happened, but mentally. They have this warped mentality of God, and it's allowed them to think they're so unworthy. They're so unworthy that they experience abuse, so unworthy that they experience. They think that it's okay, that this is God's quote-unquote sovereignty, that they become victims. I am declaring to you tonight that you are not a victim. That you are loved by Father, and that you are loved, and he not only wants to love you, he wants to extend that love through you. And Father, I thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Willie Kritz, will you come back on and for 3 minutes share a little bit, and then we'll go from there. Willie, are you there?
I'm here.
All right.
Well, I'd just like to come back to what Dr. Fay summed up, what I'd said early, not guilty. And, you know, it's just so awesome that the Father would look ahead in time and see all of the sin, all of the evil, all of the trespasses that would be committed by any one single person. And he's God. He declares the end from the beginning, so he could do that. And what he did is he just said, okay, I see everything that Willie Cripps will ever do. And I tell you what, I'm just going to go ahead and pay that penalty at the cross. And so he didn't just do that for Willie Cripps. He did that for us all. And one of my favorite passages, and I'd like to just share this, you know, and then I'll be silent. But 1 John 4 and 14, John said, "And we believe and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And, of course, the word for Savior there means the deliverer. And the deliverance that our world needs, it's there. It's for them to tap into. And you know what? If he delivers everyone but just one, if he missed delivering even one, then he would just be almost the Savior of the world. And I just have a problem with a God who is almighty being almost. He is the Savior of the world, and I just thank God for that. I enter into that with it with thanksgiving.
So much of the church, and Willie, you talk about this all the time, that people have a problem consciousness rather than a solution consciousness.
Yes.
And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin. If anyone does sin, they have a high priest or a priest friend in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, Jesus the righteous, who served as a sacrifice for our sins, and he solved the sin problem for good. Not ours, but the whole world. But the problem is, Willie, is that no one knows this. They don't know this. And
that's
you
right.
can know that this is all sealed in the mind of God, but what about people's hearts? What about pain? I have people email and say, well, you say it's all finished. What about pain? Well, the problem is that it's sealed in the mind of the heart of the Father, but it's not known in our hearts.
Right.
And that's the issue, just like Nate was talking about when the glass goes in the ocean, you can't distinguish it. And so many of our decisions, so many of our ideas, we live out the paradigm, or I have, I'll say for me, that I have grown up. I grew up with these abuses. And abuse is just abnormal use. I didn't know the purpose of love, and so I abused it. And the thing about it is we so want to understand it. Our media is so attracted to violence and rage. And, you know, if one church picketed and says, you know, God hates, then we all got to draw to it. Why? Because we want something inside of us wants to understand. But we will never see the purpose of it until we get our eyes off of it and get it on the truth, and that's the truth of God. I want to bring Danny back for 1 second, something that he told me today about the truth, and then I want to give it back to Eric Sheets, and we're just going to pray. I don't want to just be teaching. I want us to do demonstration of what we are. So, Danny, are you there?
Yes, Mother Brock, I'm here. Well, I believe what we were talking about, you know, there's a lot of people out there, what is the truth? And we was talking about, you know, the going back to the message of Christ and who he was and what he done, the fact that, as the brother just shared, that Jesus laid down his life for us and that we were all reconciled. And the fact that beyond once we recognize that and we come to the knowledge that, like you said, once we see that and accept it in our hearts and we see the heart of God, and that we must begin to live that life of Christ, and so that the world can see the truth through us and how we live.
Yes. Mike Clegg, I'll give you one more minute, and then we're going to go back and we're going to pray, because I just feel that God is, this is not on here so we can present another concept. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is here to destroy yokes, to minister to people. But Mike, are you there?
I am.
Just share a little bit more, and then we're going to turn it back over to prayer.
You know, Mark, the Bible is full of statements of truth. And truths that are correctly stated. Remember when the disciples, when the man asked the disciples to heal his son, he says they could not. But the verses right before that, in verse 1 and 2 of Luke 9, Jesus has specifically given power to do what the man said they couldn't do. And that's the way we've got to come to know God. We've got to know him in truth and not facts. And there is a big difference. Facts are cold and personal, while truth is loving, it's warm. And it will always bring a transformation in the one who receives them.
Man, you just said that, and it quickened something that Nate Rangel said. Nate, can you come back and comment on that?
Yeah, Mark. Just kind of touching on what the same vein that we've been on. One thing that has concerned me, you and I have discussed it quite a bit, is that. Our temptation, and you know, you're flowing with I think God's prompting to want to serve the people in prayer, but I think that we run the risk of being indicted when we have this truth that is forming in us and we're sitting back on our laurels waiting for it to fully develop so that we have it right and we become doctrine mongers. And what I'm concerned with is we're surrounded by churches that say that God hates this and God hates that. And I'm feeling increasingly led of God to go out and not be prepared and go out like Moses, who parted the sea with a stick, for crying out loud, and go out and just with whatever we have in our hand to declare the love of God and let God be God and let him really show his love outside of our contained doctrines and our churches and our pews and minister to the people that have this need. I think that Dr. Faye said something that was so profound, and I'll end it with this, is that we do run the danger of having so much revelation, which it's just, I'm listening to everybody here, and I realize that I got invited to a conversation that's way over my head. But revelation without realization, you know, Jesus said, greater things than these shall ye do. We need to go out and demonstrate the love of God to those that are on the fringes.
Yes. Now, I'm telling you, this is going to be an awesome conference. And let's go back to Eric. Eric, just flow, pray, and then for a couple minutes, and then we're going to give it back to Dr. Fay.
Okay, sure. Well, I'll just take it right to the Lord and let anybody else jump in. Lord, something else that's popping to my mind was to pray over people with addictions. So, Jesus, I ask you to come in your power, in your might. People with any form of addiction among those listening here tonight, manifest yourself with glory, with power, with love. Counsel them in every way needed. Give them all of the counsel they need. You are the wonderful counselor. Through people, through something they might pick up and read, but counsel them, speak to them, speak into their hearts, speak into their minds, give them your mind, send all the angels needed to provide counsel and wisdom to them on what steps they need to take to be free. And Lord, I lift up to you people who are lonely.
Yeah.
And where this addiction is, and that because they're addicted, it's hidden and they're lonely. And I ask you to come to them and show that you are present. And Lord, right now I ask you to send peace into their hearts. Send peace to them wherever they're at. Be the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, we thank you right now for those people that have been abused. I know when people hear this broadcast, they're going, this cannot be true. This is too good news. But Father, I thank you. Because this is an exposing. This exposes every area of our hearts that we believe that God can't be this good. So, Father, we pray for this right now. And I pray, Father, for people who are addicted to religion, people who are addicted to having to always create this other view of God, this view, no matter what our theology or terminology, that we've always got to invent this God who is lording over us and that's commanding and forcing, and not this love that once we grasp it, once we get it, we get a hold of it, we just throw ourselves over into the hands of the Father. Because, Father, I know that there's people right now they listen to this broadcast, and they have been so abused by church, so abused by religion, so abused by even their what they've read out of the Bible, because they've read it out of this heart of violence instead of a heart that's full of grace. And so, Father, I speak it right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for these men who have laid down their lives, Father, for Willie Cripps, who has given his life to declare not guilty. Father, that he is going out into places, having conferences all over the United States and linking people together. Father, I thank you also for Mike Clegg, who has a heart to reveal the heart of the Father of God. Father, I thank you for Danny Kelly, that has a heart to share that it's about humbling yourself and that there's a humility that we've never mastered because we don't know love. And Father, I think about Nate Rangel and his passion to go into the hospitals and to the streets and not to just keep in church and keep convincing people of this mental idea of God. And Father, I thank you for Eric Sheets, who just has this heart to move into the prophetic and speak the heart of the Father God. And that's what I hear tonight, is the Father heart of God. And I thank you, men. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You don't know how you're reaching people. You don't know that every time you walk into a room, you're offering a presence that has never been known in that room. And I say that in Jesus' name. Dr. Faye, back to you.
Thank you so much, Mark. And thank you, each and every one of you, for being a part of Dr. Faye Live tonight. I am so grateful and honored that God has raised up generations and a generation of people who are bold and bodacious enough to stand upon this the precipice and be the catalyst for change, to be those men and women who are part of a revolution of change, that are not afraid to open their mouths and boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is still Lord to the glory of God the Father. And though we go through transition time and time again, because change is part of life, I am grateful that God is calling forth generals in the faith, men and women who are bold enough to just open their mouths and say, you know what, it's time for the change. And we, you know, you don't get there by flowing with the crowd. You don't get there by being a part of the majority. You get there by swimming against the current, not just because you want to, but because there's a cry on the inside of you that compels you to go toward it. And though it doesn't look like a lot of people are with you, I tell you, he that is for you is greater than he that is in the world. He is greater. I believe that God has raised up voices in this dispensation, in this hour, that will not shrink back, that will not be cowards in the shadows, but are going to be products of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah that will resonate with revival and redemption, that will help humanity understand sovereignty, that it's not enough to have religious cliches because it doesn't matter anymore. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that really will matter is that if we fulfill the call of God upon our lives, if we were men and women of destiny and purpose, if we truly unveiled the Christ, if we were truly the city that's set upon a hill, if we were truly the light of the world, the salt of the earth, if we truly resonated with Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are the world changers, not part of an elite group of people, but just part of those who have become aware and awakened. Oh, awake, O Zion, that it is time. And as part of the revolution, conferences and seminars are being hosted all over the world. And ladies and gentlemen, on March 12th, there will be another conference that will be hosted in this great city of Russell. We have been numerous times. It will be hosted by Mark and Kathy Eden of the Bridging the Gap Ministries and others that you've heard here tonight. Mike Clegg, Danny Kelly, Willie Crisp, Marcus Hunt, Nate, and so many others, and if I don't remember your name, please forgive me. But the point is, if you are in that area, part of discovering who you are, because that's how you discover, when you discover God, you found yourself. Because you're in him and he's in you, and you are going to be awakened to that awareness. Mark, as we exit, please give us the telephone number, a telephone number, and an email address. One more time, please, sir.
It's the email is bridginggap, BRIDGEINGGAP at gmail.com, and the numbers are 972-248-5078 or 479-857-4285, or you can reach Danny and Sandra Kelly. Those were me and Kathy's numbers, 479-567-5690. And I want to say this, that one of the things that I feel so strongly right now about is that this is a place that if you've never felt accepted, you will know acceptance. Not because we have mastered acceptance, but that we have put ourselves in the presence of he that knows acceptance more than any other thing. He is going to declare, as Willie said in the beginning, not guilty.
The verdict has already been solved. You just got to get a hold of it. Back to you, Dr. Fay.
Amen. And Mark, you will be back on Friday night? Is that correct?
Yes, we'll be back on Friday night, and we will have these guys back on that want to be on and other speakers. I'm going to give them some time, so and we'll let them share some, and then we'll all, you know, kind of do like we did tonight and just all revolve around it. So we are very excited about that. Some of them couldn't be here, but they will be here.
Okay, because I wanted the people to know we're you can go back and listen to this again, but I know that that many of them felt rushed and they were honorable to the time, and I like that. However, I think the voice needs to be heard a little bit longer, so if they can come back and just give a real fiery message in 5 or 7 minutes or 10 minutes each, that will be wonderful. We can bring them back on Empower Me Now. That's this Friday night, March 11th at 6 o'clock p.m. So God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Mark, for being a dynamic co-host as usual. Thank each of
you
again for allowing the Spirit of God to just permeate every fiber of your being. And until next time, you've been listening to Dr. Fay Live. And it's-